This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge, outfitted by Iron Jock, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
This is the Jump Around 3.0. I am Jim Rutledge, primetime Wallace Shine back at the Everlight Solar Studio. I am live from home because my oldest daughter is sick. But Ryan, she wants absolutely nothing to do with me, so there's no big deal at all with me doing this show. She's 11. She's already regretting staying home. She said sick. Being sick is boring. So I will do my best to entertain you and not be too loud in the house. For the next, we'll say half an hour, 40 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by my best friend, Ben Bruss, to talk some Badger basketball and Penn State football. Ben of Kyle Brust and Nortman, and this is the Jump Around. Brad Nortman used to be a part of this show, but KBN taking up all his time, so we'll just borrow one of his other co-hosts to talk some Badger football and basketball a little bit later in the show. But the Badgers, like, it was taking care of business at Northwestern. That's all they had to do, and they did it. They went down there. They didn't allow a touchdown. The defense forced three and outs after all of Locke's turnovers. Had the strip sack, had the interception, 14 to 24, 160 yards and a TD. And all things considered, you know what? That's a classic Badger performance, especially at Northwestern. And I'll take it. I am happy the Badgers got the win. And I'm coming away from that game, honestly, super excited about their defense more than their offense. I love that Tui Walker's getting more involved. Darian Dupree getting the ball is fantastic. But I don't think this offense with Braden Locke leading the way is something you can count on week in and week out. I don't think it's going to be a detriment. I think this 14 to 24, 160 yards and a touchdown and interception and a rushing TD, maybe take away a strip sack from him. And that could be the performance that helps win against Penn State. That could be the performance you get from Braden Locke against top-tier teams. Now, Northwestern isn't a top-tier team, but you're on the road. That was really a must-win game for Northwestern. They beat the Badgers last year. They are playing at home. I think they feel like they can beat the Badgers at home. So getting out of Evanston, no matter where in Evanston that game is important. I think Tosher called that the baby stadium. Regardless, I think the atmosphere is very similar to what it is at Ryan Field.
Give some respect to the field. Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium.
Yes, you really love. Do you have family that's part of Northwestern
Medicine? Yeah. The Martins and the Wollersheims. Long-term relationship between the two clans. No, I just think it's an incredible name for a football stadium. I mean, Pitbull Stadium at FIU is one thing. Northwestern Medicine Field, I mean, it's about as good as it gets.
That's primetime Wollersheim. We're both wearing our Iron Jock gear. You can get some of your own Iron Jock gear. Go to ESPN or go to ironjock.com. Use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% off all purchases of $50 or more. Again, Iron Jock with AC, ironjock.com. But Ryan, you watched that game just like I did. It wasn't pretty. But I think we both went into that Northwestern game with the old Al Davis Raider mentality of just win, baby.
I think you went into it with a little bit more than love that than I did. I wanted to see a comfortable win, especially considering how the game went last year at Camp Randall. I thought they really needed to get some get back for this game and show that that was a blip more than a possible real rivalry going forward with Northwestern. And it just felt, I think, like a classic Badgers win. Like we've talked about over the last 3 weeks, it feels like the Badgers are back has kind of been, you know, that's what everyone's wanting to say because they're running the ball, they're pounding the pill. And now, like you said, the defense has been really good. And more than anything, it also felt to me just like the Badgers imposing their will in the first half, maybe not actually being up by that many points, having some bad mistakes like that Braden Locke interception, not the prettiest. One of his marquee interceptions over the
That one I heard on season. The radio, and Tauscher and LePay were not kind about it.
Yeah, it's not sure who he was thrown to. He thought he was thrown to somebody on Ryan Field on that play. Right. He wasn't sure where he was throwing that one, I think.
The wind got it. It's windy.
Exactly. Yeah. Blame the lake. Lake effect. But yeah, it just felt like they won with their defense and their special teams, like you said. And that's just how I always remembered Badgers football winning. And it showed that they can win in more ways than one. Like, they're not just relying on the Dairy Raid offense and Phil Longo. They're not just relying on Tui Walker. Even if Tui is not actually scoring a touchdown, still getting 128 rushing yards and still on a breakneck pace in his three games as the Badgers, you know, running back one. It was encouraging, and it made me feel like while it was probably the ugliest win of the three they've had over this bounce back stretch for the Badgers, it made me feel like, oh, but this team can actually win in more ways than one. And that made me feel a lot better about them than going into the game.
I feel like the momentum is still rolling for this team. This is the Jump Around 3.0. We are brought to you by Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. I've been doing a lot of yard work. It's fall, so bringing a lot of leaves and doing some trimming of the trees. And I throw all that back to my big blue truck from Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. You can have a better buying experience at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simon Chevy in Mount Horeb. I don't think momentum, Ryan, has faded for this team. They still won, what, 23-3?
Yeah.
Tui Walker would have had my 150 prediction, except for they were up enough that they just ended up giving a ball to Darian Dupree at the end of that game.
He would have got that touchdown if they didn't just give it to Iacomelli on the 3-yard line, too.
Right,
just
yeah.
Stealing touchdowns from our guy.
Like that happens for those running backs there. Tui Walker's now at a pace to really put up some numbers that we're used to seeing out of a Badger running back. 1,000 might be out of stretch, but with a bowl game, maybe he gets a chance to be there if he continues to crank off 100-yard-plus games, and double-digit TDs is in line for him. And I think that's something that we'd love to see out of Badger running backs. It helps with recruiting. These wins help with recruiting. The overall win total helps with recruiting. And whether you're Mabry Matour watching Braden Locke go up and down, or you're someone who's considering coming here, the fact that this offense was able to score points the last three games look functional. And then, yeah, if you're a quarterback recruit, you say, well, I can just come in and play more efficiently than even Braden Locke. It is interesting with Braden. It's almost, I hate to say it like this, Ryan, but it could be the perfect performance for those who might be believing Matoya or others as up-and-coming players, is if Braden Locke kind of just old-school Badgers his way to some wins. I think it still opens the door for a quarterback competition next year. And, you know, old school, you got a quarterback out there and he throws five TDs, four interceptions, 65%, 800 yards passing through this point of the season or close to it. And obviously hasn't played all the games. If this was just you average the stats out for the rest of the game, I think most old school Paul Chris and even Brett Bielema would have been like, well, we'll just run this guy back. I do think Braden Locke is good enough to keep you in games. And I think the Badgers are going to win these games, the tough ones on their schedule going forward because of their defense. And that's what I want to talk about, because I think we know what Braden Locke is. I think he can be explosive in every sense of the word. And all you're really looking for is in these tough games, these games where you might have to just grind it out, play like you did against Northwestern with one less turnover. And I think the Badgers got a good shot against Drew Aller and Penn State. And obviously Drew's a pro level quarterback, but he hasn't played like it. He's probably a year away from being considered a first or second round pick at quarterback. He has the flashes. He has the recruiting pedigree, but this Badgers defense is top 10 of the nation in stop rate, 18 in scoring defense, number 7 in pass defense, number 14 in total defense. And I think that's only going to increase. Remember, this team lost some key players, but then adds players in the portal. Well, those players or freshmen coming in, those players are now understanding this defense. And the best thing about a defense, and when Jim Leonard had it humming, is when you had players, and usually they were kind of coming up through the system, that could run this defense in their sleep. So then they're reacting and not thinking. And I think this defense, and I know the opponents is a part of it, but this defense didn't look overmatched for a lot, large parts of the game, half the game against USC, half the game against Alabama. But remember, their offense put them in bad positions, and I think the defense wore down in those games more than anything else because the offense wasn't carrying their weight. And I would say that this defense has every right to say that they're a top-tier Big Ten defense. And that's what you need to beat Penn State. And if the Badgers are going to win, at Iowa or Nebraska or home Minnesota or much less Penn State or Oregon, it's got to be this defense. And I'm a believer in it, Ryan.
I think you should be at this point. I mean, you mentioned that, it's been against three teams who aren't very impressive, but they're only allowing 16 points over the last 3 weeks. Like, you're playing Power 5 teams or Power 4 teams at this point. Like, you have to be impressed by that to some extent. And like you said, it felt like the transfer is finally starting to show up. John Pius gets a strip sack against Northwestern. I believe Leon Lowry was also in on one of the strip sacks as well. So the pass rush, which has been the one thing that they've been lacking the most on defense so far this season, starting to finally come alive just in time for the Penn State game against one of the better quarterbacks they'll be facing all year. They already faced Jalen Milroe. Aller, could be a much different test for this team. And the explosive nature of Penn State's offense, they're just going to need to force some negative explosive plays, if you will, against that offense. Set them behind the eight ball and try to be able to, go punch for punch with them. Because look, I mean, Penn State's an incredibly talented team, and they got guys outside of Drew Aller who are really good. Tyler Warren, their tight end. Talking about against USC, he put up 17 catches, an FBS record for a tight end in that game. He's going to be a major problem, too, for that Penn State offense. But like you said, the defense, especially the secondary, too. Xavier Lucas got hurt against Northwestern. Hopefully he's healthy again for this game, because even though he's a true freshman, he's making plays and he's being a real contributor. They got the guys who it feels like could match up against Penn State's offense. Now it's going out there and making the plays and making sure that the offense, plays the complementary football, like we said.
Right. The complementary football is a huge part of it. If the Badgers can play offensively, they're going to be better if they play with a lead. And then if they can play and give their defense a position where they can kind of guess or have a better idea what Penn State might be doing. Obviously, if you're up big enough, as the game goes along, it gets even easier for the defense because you know what the offense is going to try to do. But I think this program, if they win this game, the vibes are going to be the highest they've been maybe since the Orange Bowl, Ryan. I mean, you think about what happened to this team after the Orange Bowl victory, and it hasn't been super exciting because obviously you have that high, so you're expecting to repeat it, and they didn't really come close to it. Then the end of the Paul Chryst era, the start of the Luke Fickell era, on the football field, when they brought in Luke Fickell, vibes were high. I mean, there was a little bit of salt with the Jim Leonard, Luke Fickell thing, but otherwise vibes were incredibly high. And I think the vibes would be the highest they've been in a long time, probably since that Orange Bowl, if the Badgers win that game against Penn State this weekend, because get some bowl eligible, which was our readjusted goal for this team. It puts 9 regular season victories on the table, which would be 2 more victories than they had last year, and that's even before the bowl game. If the Badgers win 8 or 9 games with this schedule, you love the direction of this program. And they don't have to beat Penn State to win 8, but if you're winning 8 or 9 games with your backup quarterback with this schedule and where the fan base was with this team, it could be something electric for the Badgers. And when Oregon comes to town, I'll tell you what, they beat Penn State and Iowa. You think Penn State's going to be a crazy night game. I don't know what Oregon will be, but that will be a hell of a game too. So the Badgers really have a chance to do something special here. Obviously, Braden Locke has an opportunity here to cement himself as a long-term starter. I don't think he'll do that, but I think he's going to play good, respectable football. And he's going to go down in Badger lore as one of those gritty, tough quarterbacks that could get you wins. Like, I could see him having a bad day and still making a play or two. And that's a compliment to him. I don't think the bad plays linger. I don't think the bad plays mess him up. I do think it's something where he feels like every play is new and the Badgers have an opportunity to play into his very short-term memory. Sometimes it looks like it's even a thing with watching film.
Short-term amnesia.
Yeah, what's going on there with him. But Wisconsin has every right to be in this game. And if they're going to pull off an upset, I think it's going to be in large part because of the fan base and being at home at Camp Randall and this team having that 3-point or that 3-game winning streak coming into this. And you actually can talk about that for a second here. Actually, we have Barry Alvarez has talked a little about. He talked about in the Great Dane Huddle, which he joins weekly, about the opportunity for the fans to make a difference in this game. And I think they will.
Our fans have to get involved. This is a game. They're coming into our house, 80,000+. They could be a factor in the game. I was listening to an interview the other day, and one of the players said, we couldn't hear the audibles. The crowd was so loud. I can't remember which game it was. But that could happen Saturday. And if our fans do the job, they could really be a factor in this game.
G-Man coach.
Derek Engler coming in at the end there too. But yes,
amen.
The offense,
amen,
could absolutely be a factor in the Badgers winning. You can be a winner by going to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Millions of dollars are won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. So go be a winner and go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison this weekend. The Badgers are facing a Penn State team that I do believe is up to the hype as far as talent. I'm not a big James Franklin guy. Like, when I think of the top coaches in the Big Ten, it's just not what it used to be back in the day. Like, I don't even put Ryan Day as someone. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh's not in there. But I'm definitely not putting James Franklin up there.
No.
I mean, who are, like, off the top of your head, who are you ripping off? Maybe it's the Indiana coach. I think he's kind of put together something.
Cignetti?
Cignetti. It's cute.
No filter Cignetti. Come on. You got to buy into him.
Indiana feels, I like him as a coach. Indiana feels very much like Northwestern, where they have these random one-offs and the team is buying in. And look, they're doing better than Wisconsin. So I'm just saying that I'm not putting him at the top of the heap there.
Honestly, if you're talking about top of the heap right now, it's the guy who probably just beat Ryan Day a few weeks ago, Dan Lanning at Oregon. And he's only been a head coach for, I believe this is his third season. He's pretty unproven. He's still green, obviously. Yeah, forgive me with the pun with Oregon, but he's proven himself just as much as probably any other coach in this conference. I think Ryan Day, honestly, with Jim Harbaugh leaving, is the cream of the crop, and that's a guy who Ohio State fans, a lot of them, want to get rid of.
But I guess I'm not saying Brett Bielema. I think Illinois will come back down to earth.
I mean, I guess you could say Ferentz at Iowa.
I think Ferentz and Bielema are equals.
Yeah. He's just a more tenured Bielema.
Yeah, it's just not inspiring long-term confidence. Like, let's be honest, Michigan ain't Michigan. It is big that Illinois beat Michigan, and I'm not even saying that Illinois is not a better program than the Badgers, but what I'm saying is that Brett Bielema is not elite. I don't think he ever will be. But for Illinois, also he's not loyal, so I can imagine Illinois. Whatever. That guy thought he was going to coach in the NFL when he was at Wisconsin, but nobody was kicking the tires on him. Sure. Remember when he tried it with New England?
Oh, yeah, he gave it a chance.
You could be like the assistant to the assistant D-line coach if you want.
And he was just running laps with Joe Judge around the practice field. Yeah, no, I remember those stories.
Yeah, he begged Michigan State for the job I think Mel Tucker got. So he finally got Illinois, though. So, you know,
over the next 3 weeks, Luke Fickell has a real chance to put himself up there with the names like Dan Lanning and Ryan Day. I mean,
he has the resume more than anyone else in the Big Ten outside of maybe those guys, because he took Cincinnati to the college football playoff. He built up Cincinnati's program. If he turns Wisconsin, this is a big if, but you're right. If the Badgers end this season with 9 regular season wins, which means they have upset either Penn State or Oregon and then won the games that I would call coin flips, Luke Fickell's in that conversation at the top of the Big Ten, especially when you're talking about what he took over. And I say that with all due respect. We're getting the feels about this with Paul Chryst. Paul Chryst is a hell of a football coach. The recruiting was not where it needed to be, and I don't think he was fully willing or capable of making the changes that were needed to get recruiting to where it was. So the program was – it's not even the actual players. I think people get bogged down in that. The program was not needed where – was not where it needed to be as far as recruiting, because they didn't have this collective thing built out. They were still trying to do name and likeness when the rest of the college football had switched to this collective. And collectives are basically pay for play. And so the Wisconsin Badgers were trying to play in this field where they were always 2 or 3 steps behind. And Paul Chryst, I think there's coaches that who maybe are much better at being a head football coach 5 years ago. Paul Chryst, unquestionably, especially before the landscape of college football change, was a great college football coach. And heck, if NIL didn't come along, Paul Chryst could still very well be the head football coach at the University of Wisconsin. And University of Wisconsin would be cranking out 9, 8, 9, 10 wins yearly. But that's not the way things changed. I mean, you can read all those stories about Paul's unwillingness to push a little bit towards the social media side of things, some of the recruiting things that they were able to do even before NIL came in. He was a little more old school on. And so that was kind of his downfall. It's never him as a football coach. And I think that shows in the players loving him and the schemes he puts together, and he's still employed. It's just the way that college athletics is set up now that you need to have these top-tier players, and you have to be able to recruit at a high level. And I know we're going to be joined by Ben Brust here soon to talk Badger basketball, and that's one of the transitions that Badger basketball is making, and that's a big step that Greg Gard has to make, a name that was floated around great Badger basketball for years, much like Rick Majerus was floated around going back to coach at Marquette, was Tony Bennett. Now Tony Bennett has stepped aside, and I think the NIL was definitely part of all that for him. So I don't see him jumping back into things. But Greg Gard, just like every coach, really at any level in college sports, are on notice. And like, I will go back to this. I'll say the exact same thing about Greg Gard as Paul Chryst. He is unquestionably a great basketball coach. And the only thing the Badgers have to figure out on the basketball side of things is getting the players in here. And that's not just on Gard. That's on the athletic department to be able to help get the money for the name and likeness. I don't think Wisconsin has the pool of money that, let's say, a Marquette has. And I think Shaka Smart is a great coach, too. I think both him and Gard are great coaches. And I think Shaka's got a built-in advantage with Marquette, I think, being willing to spend more money. And that's just the way it goes. And this is where it's unfortunate, because here's the catch-22 to it. And you can look at it with Paul Christ, and you can even look at it with Greg Gard a little bit, that Paul, the money came flowing into this program. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know if Paul had a system in place, and maybe that's why Wisconsin didn't necessarily try to go out and get all this money, because they didn't know what they were doing. But when Fickell came in, the excitement went through the roof, and then the money came flowing into the program, and then they were able to spend a lot of money on football players. And Greg Gard is going to have to figure out how to get that excitement up to continue to try to get money into the program. But he has to be the one to do it, which honestly is harder when you're the head coach and not the person who could be the new person coming in and have all that excitement and shine coming in. And then it's a little bit easier to raise funds when you're a new guy. So Greg Gard's got a very interesting season in front of him. And I don't blame any of the player movement on him, whether it's Storr or Hepburn. I don't love the positioning of it that, oh, of course these players would take the money, just because it sets the players up a little bit to look greedy. And I don't think that's exactly what Gard or anyone was doing when they would say that, of course, or these players would take the money. And I don't necessarily think they were trying to skirt blame. But outside the optics of that, I don't have any problem with the players leaving, because Badger Athletics for basketball hasn't shown any inkling to be able to spend the money needed to keep players like that. The fact that they got Storr here in the first place was a good indication that the Badger basketball coaching staff can recognize talent. And they're going to have to do it again. And I'm more worried about Badger basketball, whether it's Greg Gard or anyone coaching it. I don't think there's a magic fix coming in here until there's more money put behind Badger basketball program to just say everything's going to be all right. So I don't think, like, if Greg Gard has a mediocre season and fans call for his head, I don't think there's a coach that's going to come in here and solve this problem. I think Wisconsin has to figure out in what field do they want to play for basketball in the name and likeness. And I think that's the bigger question, and more of, is Greg Gard the right guy? Because Greg Gard's, I would say tactically, one of the better coaches in all of college basketball. But there's this other, and I'm not even saying he's not capable as a recruiter. I'm just saying that as someone for Badger Athletics, I don't think Badger Athletics is fully behind Badger basketball as it is behind football. And I get it. Football makes more money. I'm not even saying Badger Athletics is wrong in it. What they need, Ryan, is some sort of governing body to come back in and flatten out this playing field. Putting in a salary cap for basketball and for football really makes everything better for Wisconsin athletics.
Yeah, or you got to go out there and make an aggressive move for, you know, another head coach. Pull the UWGB, go get a head coach from the media ranks. Maybe like Green Bay got Doug Gottlieb. Maybe Wisconsin Badgers could get that guy Ben Burst out of retirement. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe he can be the culture changer that this program needs, Jim.
Do you think, I want to ask Ben if he thinks he'd be a good coach when he joins us.
You know what he thinks.
I think Ben would be, I don't know if as a head coach, but I think, like, if he was on the coaching staff or on the players, I do think he'd be good.
Okay, let's ask him.
All right. We'll get to Ben Bruss coming up right after this.
You know what really gets me? A man who knows how to stay fresh. No matter how hard he works, how much he sweats, he's always clean, always irresistible. That's why I love a man in Iron Jock. Their gear doesn't just fit. It hugs all the right places. And the best part? No odor. Ever. So guys, if you want to leave a lasting impression without the lasting odor, slip into Iron Jack. Trust me, we'll notice. Shop again, again, and again at ironjoc.com.
All right, there he is, my best friend, Mr. Ben Brust, the object of my thoughts whenever I'm not doing a show with him. So, you know, I'm obsessed with Ben Brust, and now I get to have him on the jump around. Ben, I have a question for you. Ryan teased it before the break there. Doug Gottlieb coaching UW Green Bay, media guy coming in and coaching Green Bay basketball. I'm not going to say Badger basketball, but do you think you'd be a good college basketball coach? Do you think you could do it?
I wouldn't choose that lifestyle. And I noticed that initially when I was a player, right? And this was even before NIL, right? Before the collectives and all of this and having to recruit your own guys and high school guys and transfer portal. So even before this era, I was like, hell with that. I am absolutely never getting into college coaching. But I was listening to your conversation a little bit leading into my appearance here. And it's no coincidence that yesterday an article came out in the Fayetteville Press Gazette or whatever it is about Con Knipple, a local Wisconsin high school player who is a top 10 recruit in the entire country. He chose Duke, and he cited when he was in the men's league that his dad runs, that I'm still currently in, he would get beat
by
the...
How are you doing in that league?
Yeah, I had a triple-double yesterday. Things are going pretty good, Jim. Thank you.
I had to get that update.
Everyone cares about men's league basketball, but Con Knipple was a ninth grader, and I would just torch him going back door and just doing like the old tricks. And, you know, like, I feel as if I would not be suited to be a head coach, but I would love to have worked with players because I really love identifying strengths and weaknesses, building up the strengths and finding ways to help with weaknesses. And the reason why I say that is because I was a player that had weaknesses when I came into the Wisconsin basketball program. Coach Bo Ryan famously told me I was the worst defensive player that he's ever seen in his 30 years of coaching. And one of the, you know, one of those great moments that you hear at the end of your career in my final game at the Kohl Center was a clip of him saying, you know, he's become an all-around player. And he texted me after I texted him about the Hall of Fame, going to the Naismith Hall of Fame, about you really are, you know, the most improved defensive player I've ever coached. Doesn't mean I was a great defensive player. Just means I had a lot of room for improvement, and I improved. So there's a big gap there. So when I think about coaching kids, like, I understand what, like, where you're good at and where you're bad at, right? And if somebody is not in the right position defensively, like, defense, you don't have to be great at defense. You just have to learn how to, like, be in the right position. I play in this men's league, and I don't have the wherewithal as a dad and a full-time worker to be, like, in this men's league, be like, hey, here's how you should close out. But there's a guy on my team that, like, lunges and, like, gets beat, and I just want to, like, break down the tape with him and be like, this is what you're doing wrong. You're making it so much harder on yourself. Just close short. Like all these things. I see all these things. So I feel like if I had film and I could show and even give examples of people that were bad at things that got better, I feel like I could show the light to players and help them develop. I'm not one to be like, hey, let's get a ball and cones and do all these fancy footwork drills. But in terms of teaching the game and playing to make your team better, I feel like I would excel at that portion.
I agree with you. The consultant role sounds like what you'd be good at. It's just kind of coming in every once in a while and giving some pointers. But your co-host, who's been on the show plenty of times, Brad Nortman with KBN, Kyle Bruston Nortman, you can hear that weekdays 2 to 5 across ESPN Wisconsin, 2 to 4 in Madison. And he's talked about how Badger football has kind of gotten away because of NIL. You don't have these recruit and develop players. And I think you would fall into that recruit and develop type player. And now the coaches almost don't even have the time to put in to develop someone to get better during their time at a university, because you can look at, and I don't fault Chucky Hepburn, he'll be the better example than AJ Store, of you develop them up and then they go somewhere. So it is this kind of catch 22 about developing players, but then you got to figure out how to play them. But how much time do you put into coaching as opposed to recruiting? And I'll throw this at you too. My general theory and Greg Gard, his staff, I have no questions about their abilities to coach basketball. And I'm not even saying that they're not great at develop or finding talent. They are the one that brought AJ Store to Wisconsin and then Kansas ended up taking. But my concern is that they don't have the money or the investment from the athletic department needed to be able to compete the way that Badger fans want Badger basketball to compete.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that they're up against is, and I think you hit on it, is continuing to build excitement. And that's hard every single year with the turnover, because I think Badger fans and boosters alike are so used to something done the same way the last 30 years. And so when there's change, you need to show that you're going with the change. And if you can bring in the right guys and build an excitement, because let's be honest, like, there's only a bucket of money that could go to so many places. And if you have football, which, it, let's be honest, it is a football school. The main majority of revenue is in football. You do make revenue in basketball, but it's nowhere near the amount in football. So you're almost fighting internally to get the dollars from the same place, but ultimately you're like, all right, do you want to be in basketball? Yeah, you're going to be able to be a part of what we're growing here, which is great. But if Luke Fickell continues to show like he has the last 3 weeks that this program's growing, you're likely going to get more pool of money from the collective to go towards building the football program from a financial. And it's just the way that this state works. Football is king. So I think that he's done a really good job of being proactive in terms of looking at overseas players and trying to bring in, like, you know, finding a niche of something different that he can do differently than trying to compete with, you know, top 25 recruits that are ultimately going to go where the money is coming out of high school. So you got to be really creative in how you put a team together. And look, you mentioned it, right? Like, I had a conversation with Coach Gard last year, and I was talking, like, because we all in the developing days of like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you're there for 4 years. Everyone went through a phase of, should I transfer or should I not? Everyone, even Frank Kaminsky, he thought about it. Did he do it? No. I thought about it hard during my sophomore year, because my sophomore year of college, I had 7 threes in 2 games against quality opponents of UNLV and BYU, who are like, you know, good top 40 programs. And so I had film that I could play at the high level. And then as Big Ten season came along, I had some good games. I got sick and then got to the bottom of the rotation. Not the bottom of the rotation, more so I'd get in, and if I didn't do anything right away, I'd come out. I was like, what the hell? I know I can compete. And I could have easily been like, here's my tape. Like, you want a guy who can score? I still need work on defense, but everyone needs a spot for a shooter or a scorer. So I likely would have been gone in today's era. And he said, you would have been gone freshman year. And I was shocked by that answer because I didn't really play. But at the same time, like, I know I could have used practice film of the scout team of going against Jordan Taylor and John Luehr and those guys. So it's such a different time now that Greg Gard is saying, even as a freshman, when I didn't play, I maybe would have left Wisconsin for a different opportunity. So it's a 24/7 job. You can't be in a place where your phone isn't on. You can't be up north and getting away with your family. And that goes back to your earlier question of why I would never get into coaching.
Yeah. You know, with that, let's talk about some of the players coming out. I want to get your thoughts on the football program too, but it sounds like McGee, Klesmet, Kamari McGee, Max Klesmet, John Blackwell, Nolan Winter, Steven Crowell will be the starters, but there's Cameron Hunter, a point guard from Central Arkansas, John Ponje, forward from Missouri, Colorado State, Xavier Amos, forward from Northern Illinois. And then I think the freshman, Daniel Freetag, is someone that, I'm not going to say Johnny Davis, but like someone that could really make a difference early on. They're going to need, and all those players have had moments, either at their school or some of them are double transfers, but it's going to be one of those things. It's almost the opposite of Badger basketball. I always felt like early on they'd have a head start on teams because it was the same guys coming back. And then they'd get kind of figured out and all the teams and how the new players coming in would then kind of gel later in the year. And that's why I thought Badger basketball kind of faltered later in the year, is that they just looked better than they were because they were already a cohesive unit. This time around, they have to figure out how to play together and then hopefully clicking around tournament time. And maybe that works in their favor because the Big Ten is loaded. I mean, obviously, I even just know of Michigan with Dusty May from FAU coming in, and he's brought in a boatload of players, and The Athletic, and everyone says that Wisconsin's plus minus as far as players coming in, the players going out, is near the bottom of the league. And this is a heck of a job in front of Greg Gard this year.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but ultimately the good news that he has is, you mentioned about 10 guys. The way that this always shapes out is you get excited about 10 to 11 guys early in the season. And the next thing you know, it's down to eight. And so I really think it's going to be very similar to what you saw last year in terms of like the guys on the court. But who, like, of those, you know, Xavier and Cameron Hunter, like, who's going to be the guy that is like going to crack the rotation as a guy who's going to come in and produce, right? You need to show production and you need to show maturity really fast because you have about 1.5 months, right? But at the same time, you want to be building your resume as a team that's not really looked at as like a tournament team right now. I think they're picked like anywhere from 10 to 12th in the Big Ten, big big 48 or however many teams there are now. But I really do believe that the core of the team is solid, but is solid good enough anymore with the way that the league has expanded and how much talent is in the Big Ten? So I look at a guy like Kamari McGee, and I love Kamari McGee, and I really do. He plays so hard. He's taken the right jumps every single year. I just, like, I need to see it on the floor, right? I need to see it consistently in a Big Ten schedule that he can provide this team that stability that they need, that point guard position. Because if he can't, he will still have a role, but you really need someone to have a consistent role that grabs that point guard spot, because that is the most important position in Wisconsin basketball's program, because Greg Gard is still there. They're going to have, a lot more of a, I would say a hybrid of, you know, sort of running the offense traditionally of how we've seen it, like, quote unquote, swing, you get in those spots. But they're also, they brought on Kirk Penny for a reason. They brought on Greg Steensma, a former Badger who's been in the NBA for a reason, to put everything at this team to be really good tactically, because they may not have the, like, it's like a new way of going about developing freshmen through senior year. It's like, hey, we have these great basketball minds and coaches that have been through it. A FIBA Hall of Famer in Kirk Penny, a guy like Greg Steensma, who spent time in the NBA and coached in the NBA. They need to take that knowledge and get these guys. They have to be fast learners, because there's not a lot of time for them to grow, and they need to figure out that core eight ASAP, and that's going to be trial and error the first 14, I would say 10 games is what you give, and then you've really got to lock in, because you need consistency and you need to know what you're going to get from your team, because I feel like they've almost been more rotation happy than ever in the past, and I think that might hurt them in a year where that you can't, like, they had talent with Storr and Chucky, who was there, where they were able to overcome other guys coming in and out, like an Ilver who's trying to find his way. I just believe that with this team, they're solid, but is solid good enough anymore to take you to the upper echelon of where Badger fans will want to see them? So as you mentioned, they can continue to get money to continue to grow the program. So I'm excited about Freitag. I believe, like you said, like, I think he's going to have an impact in some way or another. Is it a meteoric rise like Johnny Davis? Is it a showing flashes this year and then he becomes that main guy next year? But man, I don't envy being a college coach, because if you don't produce, they're going to be looking for someone who can do it right away. And it's unfair, but it's the world that Greg Gard and all these coaches live in.
Last thing, Ben, you got KBN coming up. I want to get let you get ready for that. But Badger football, the last 3 weeks have been exciting. Only one touchdown allowed. They got Penn State coming to town. It's going to be electric. A night game, Camp Randall. The team's won three in a row. If they're going to pull off an upset, because I don't consider Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota upsets, this is the game. I don't think the Oregon Ducks is the upset game. This is their chance. What do you think of the program after at this point in the season, and then their chances against Penn State?
The word I used at the start of the season and even all of last year is I'm looking to see an identity, and we're seeing an identity form, which is phenomenal. It was so great to see Tywee Walker get 23 carries and be efficient, 5 yards per carry. And that takes the load off of Locktober, right? Like, and I think I really like what you said, his ability to not be super affected by the interceptions, especially because one happened early against Northwestern. You're like, oh, is this going to be that sort of game where they're not at Ryan Field, but a field that looks like a high school field over by the lake while they're building their new stadium? Is this going to be the game that they drop? And they responded with solid defense. I love the speed. It seems like we're seeing the speed come to fruition with those linebackers. They're sideline to sideline, and that's exciting to me, right? Even getting a little bit pass rush. To me, the biggest thing was I heard Luke Fickell, when he came here, say, we still want to win in the trenches. They were dominated in the trenches last year, and we've seen progression of, like, all right, they're getting to the quarterback. You know, it's a different way, right? It's not a 3-4. You're not sending all we could name guys. Watt, TJ Watt, Zach Bond, blah, blah, blah. They all came off the edge. And if it was third and eight on the 35 yard line, I knew we were going to get a stop and a sack, and they were going to punt, and it was going to be sort of that flow of a game. They're doing it in a different style of football, but it's okay, because they're doing it in their style of football now. So I'm seeing that identity. I love that, like, Will Pauling hasn't really had that like monster game. And I think everyone expected, in order for this team to be successful, he was going to have a monster game. I look at the box scores and I'm seeing one or two catches from each wide receiver, and I'm seeing 10 to 14 yards average. It's not a bunch of dink and dunk. Here's a 6-yarder. Here's a 7-yarder. The averages per catch are up, even if there's not that many completions, which means they're moving the ball down the field a way that we all expected them to do that last year. So seeing the vision come together has been very rewarding. I'm super excited that the first game I'm going to be at is this weekend. I'm going to be at the night game for Penn State. And then the Final Four reunion of the 2014 and 15 basketball team. It's kind of crazy. The basketball team plays Arizona on a Friday at home. Both 14 and 15 Final Four teams beat Arizona in the Elite Eight. And then on Saturday, the football team plays Oregon, which both basketball teams, 14 and 15, beat in the round of 32. So just kind of a unique, fun tie-in there that the two games I will be at, hopefully, if Penn State goes well and the Badgers do take care of some of those coin flip games, there's enough juice that I'm coming to town for both of the big Badger football matchups with Penn State and Oregon. Like, what I want to see, though, is I want to see them compete and not beat themselves, right? Like, they beat themselves, and maybe there was too much talent on the Alabama football side, but I don't think Alabama was what Alabama was. I don't want to see them beat themselves like they did against USC, right? Being up, and then the same special teams breaks that they got in the first half, they didn't get in the second half, and then USC moved the football and Badgers didn't, right? I want to see them put together a complete game against a quality opponent. It's not taking away the last three wins because they did it handily and they did it in a way that makes me feel confident that they are making progress to competing against a Franklin team that, against the big matchups, always lays an egg. And I saw him dodge the podium for some stuff that happened internally with his program, which I love, right? Like, this is an opportunity to catch a team that has some distractions going on. You're trending in the right direction. I never believe in Penn State. Drew Aller is a good quarterback, but has he had that like moment where you're like, all right, he may be a NFL QB prospect? QB prospect doesn't mean that they dominate college football. It just means that they have the tools and the ability to play at the next level, and they're going to make solid plays. But it's not like he's like one of those Heisman quarterbacks, like a Jaden Daniels, who just the whole offense runs through him, and it's going to be the reason why you win or lose. They can contain him. He's going to make good throws, and they're going to make plays. But he doesn't scare me as a guy who's like, all right, we're playing Penn State against Drew Aller. It's over. That doesn't scare me. I think it's an opportunity to continue to show the progression and the growth of how they've been playing football, and consider me all in and ready for heartbreak on Saturday.
Awesome. I'm right there with you, Ben. Thank you so much. You can listen to Ben on KBN starting at 2:00 today on ESPN Wisconsin.
Hey, thanks, guys. I love talking a little Badgers. I don't get to do as much anymore.
That's why we wanted to have you on. Appreciate the last minute help there. All right. That's
Ben. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Ben Brust. This has been the Jump Around 3.0.